Hey guys, this is Danny McDermott from The Danny McDermott Show. If you want to see our show live, it's every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Trust me, you want to see it then. You'll see all the screw-ups. It's great. Our show is an adult show, I must admit, but that's only because we're childish. Most of the guests that we have on the show are my friends, so you can just watch us hang out as buddies. It's fun. Just chill, relax, enjoy. This week's special guests, Joe Castro and the legendary Rick Shapiro.
Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Thanksgiving. Gobble, gobble. Yeah, that was a great joke, Kevin. That did not work. Gobble, gobble's not a punchline, Kevin. Welcome, folks, to the show. We're happy to see you guys here. We got a great show. I'm very excited that we have our guests tonight, Rick Shapiro and Joe Castro. I am excited. I'm excited. Now this, as we all know, is a 2020 Thanksgiving. So this show is going to represent 2020 Thanksgiving. Now, a lot of people complain. They say, this is terrible. I can't see my relatives. I can't do all, you know, we can't have these get togethers. We can't go out. Single people can't go out to the bars and get laid. You know what I mean? That's what Steve and I were talking about. But anyway, it's different. But you know what? Me and my staff, we've decided that there are things to be thankful for. And we've compiled a list of things that we think we should all be thankful for. And I think you should too. I mean, think about it. Okay? I mean, you got to be thankful for all the little things. Except for my check. That should be a bigger thing. Because it's non-existent. It's non-existent right now. We got to be thankful, okay? Think about it. Masks. People are complaining about the masks, but think about it. The masks, they hide gross people's faces. The urinals are more bearable. The bathrooms in general are more bearable, you know? Think about it. It's true, right? We also know when our breath is bad now, you know, because we have to breathe it. There's so many great things about it. We can close a Zoom window when we have a bad date. We can go to meetings without worrying about traffic or pants. You know, we can go to all the old places that our exes and I used to go with us because nobody's going to recognize us. We got a mask. It's great. You know, we don't have to have those awkward conversations at the dinner table with distant relatives who inevitably turn to politics. You know, we don't have to get in another fist fight with cousin Larry because he won't stop farting at the table. Thank you, Kevin. That was real, folks. Kevin's a method actor. Nobody has to worry about drunk Uncle Tommy driving home. We can private chat our disdain for each other and our snide comments so we don't hate each other and fight. We don't have to lie about Aunt Kathy's fruitcake. We can act like we miss everyone without having to hug them. You know, we can buy the same amount of alcohol, but we drink it so much better. And here's the biggest part. We don't have to sleep on that nasty 1970s pull-out couch that smells like mildew and dog's ass with grandma walking around in her nightie that you can see through. And that's what we're all thankful for. So be thankful for all those things, okay? And if you have more things to be thankful for, please send them in. Anyway, so Kevin, how are you today? Oh, wait. One more thing. Be thankful that you're not Johnny Rotten, who was bitten by a flea on his penis. Why would he announce that to the world? I don't know.
And I wonder if a flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers wants to clarify things.
Kevin, get bigger. You're too small. You're too small. I can't see you. That's what she said. You get that all the time, don't you, Kevin?
Everybody does.
Not me.
That's what she said.
Let me help you out there, Kevin. There you go.
I feel like I've arrived this week. Ready for a great show, Danny.
Well, your head is disintegrating.
That's okay. That's how excited I am for the show.
You may have to adjust your green screen.
Nope. This is perfect. Fresh out of the box. This is how they work.
Oh, my God. Okay. So you half a brain. That's actually better.
The floating head is not cheap, Danny. Not cheap.
Well, you're not actually floating. You just half of your brain is like missing.
Yeah. What makes this different from any other week?
All right. So I'm very excited. I'm very excited. People are like hating this year. And we all are in a lot of ways. But like I said, we should be thankful. And, you know, I've done some research, Kevin. You know that?
I did not.
I did. I did some research. I dug into, because everybody's wondering, how did 2020 get so bad? Why? How is this happening? Who has created this horrible year? And is it God? What is it? And I had a feeling. I saw this video with turkeys. And what I did was I took our technology, which if you folks don't know, we have special technology that we can put a video into this technology and we can read the animals' minds as to what they're saying. And when I did this to these turkeys, Kevin, they're walking around a dead cat and I figured it out. Let's show people why 2020 is 2020.
Animal mind reading technology.
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm going to get my steps in by the end of this.
Guys, can we please focus here?
Is there a point to this?
We sacrificed this cat to cause the destruction of the human race in 2020. Now, can you please all focus?
I don't know about you, Ruth, but that gander over there really ruffles my feathers.
Focus on the mantra. Focus on the mantra.
What are you doing? Get off my tail.
If we don't recite the mantra correctly and concentrate, the demon will never grant us the destruction of the human race.
There you go.
All right. So what do you think?
That's
they,
it.
They got about two-thirds of the mantra?
I think they've done really well, actually, judging by this year.
They haven't destroyed the human race. They've just really showed it a mirror and made it hate itself.
They've messed up a lot.
Just as good.
And was it just me? Or did one of those turkeys sound like Marge Simpson?
That's what I thought, but
right,
you know,
did you step on my tail? Right, you heard that, right?
I did.
That was Marge Simpson.
It was.
See, turkey. Not sure why that happened.
They're clever, those turkeys. They're coming at you from all angles.
They're trying to take over the show. What the hell? They're trying to take over the show.
That's okay.
Oh my goodness. So this how you been, day. Kevin?
I'm good. I got some gravy waiting for them if they act up.
You do, huh?
I do.
For the turkeys?
I do. I'm going to threaten them with it.
Well, I am.
The Gravy Express.
I'm very excited today. This is a big show. This is a big show. We've got an amazing guest. But before we bring him on, I know he's getting in the green room now. He's getting ready. Before we bring him on, I've got another surprise for you, Kevin.
Really?
Yes, I do.
The rest of my head?
It's going to blow your mind.
Okay.
What we have is we have someone on the scene taking footage of the Thanksgiving Day parade rehearsals. And I'm very excited. Yeah, we can actually cut occasionally back to those rehearsals. And you know what? Let's just take a look at what's happening at the rehearsals now. 2020.
I love you. You love me. Ow! I've been stabbed. Oh, help me. I'm deflating. Oh
my God. Cut, 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 cut. Bring us back to the studio. That's, oh my God. That's horrible. That's horrible. What's happening?
Yeah, sometimes you do a little too much of that I love you, you love me thing. Somebody gets jealous and stabs you.
I guess so. Well, it's got to get better after that. I mean, that's just a bad start to those rehearsals. It's going to be all right. I think
it's more important than ever this year for us to be thankful and festive, Danny.
Yeah, I agree. You know what? As a matter of fact, we actually have all of the dishes that should be in the 2020 Thanksgiving. But first, before I do that, I'd like to bring on our guest, if he's ready. No, not the name yet. Don't show the name. You're giving it away. You might remember our next guest from Project X, Lucky Louie, or even Pootie Tang. With a stage career that has spanned over 25 years, this guy has completely avoided the cancel culture. He has been on a total of 34 film and television shows and commercials, and he's a legend in the comedy community. Please, guys, welcome. We've got Rick Shapiro, who is an artist, a comedian, an actor. He's everything. Bring him in. Rick! Rick, how are you, buddy? Can he hear me? Oh, he doesn't have. He's got a delay on his.
With a stage career that has spanned over 25 years.
Well, let's listen to the intro again. This is a fun technical glitch.
Yes, it is.
He has been on a total of 34.
Are we going to be delayed the whole interview?
And he's a legend in the comedy community.
Hi. Welcome, guys. Susanna, guys.
Welcome. We've got Rick Shapiro.
I don't know. Is he in? Yeah, Rick? Doing? Buddy, you can't. Can you hear me?
You on? I can't hear you.
Oh, my. Is he on a serious delay?
It appears to be.
He's on a serious delay. Okay, so, Susanna, I want you to do me a favor.
You talking to me?
Yeah,
I'm talking to you. Is this Zoom? Is this Zoomology?
Can you call Rick and teach? Oh, man.
Progress? I love existential. I feel like sitting on a bucket when I'm talking to people, but all right. What's happening?
Rick, I don't know. I don't know how we're going to do this with a delay.
I'm not used to this.
I think you should sign off and come back in.
Okay. This is what I want you to do. I'm going to give you Rick's number. And I'm going to have you explain to him how to make this a priority, if he can do that.
Because I don't want anybody to know I'm
over. Will do. This is on an HP.
Okay, hold on. This is why you do a test ahead of time. We didn't do this.
Parky Stone. I'm not shaking because I have Parkinson's. I'm shaking because shaky's the new cool.
Okay.
You ain't shaking. You ain't stepping up to shit. You guys are probably talking and having a great time.
Here. Mother, come down here. Don't hit me. Look what I did. All right.
This is ridiculously funny. Okay, I'm going to put it in the private chat. I'm going to put Tracy's number and you explain it to her. Oh, my God, this is funny.
All right, good morning.
Who's who? Danny, it's good to see you.
Hey, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
Are you still on a delay? Yeah, he's on a delay.
Can you hear you? Just nod.
Okay, so I gave you Tracy's number, and you got to explain. You got to work it out with them. We're gonna bring you back. We're gonna bring you back, Rick.
I could use a little e commuter with in chubby man's cat.
We rehearsed for 3 days for this, by the way. Oh my God!
I knitted a green screen.
So Susanna's going to try. That was our engineer who came on. She is going to try to talk to Tracy and Rick. Tracy is going to be working with Rick, his wife and manager, to get this technical glitch fixed. And while that's happening, we're going to bring on our next guest first. I'm going to find the band. I'm going to do the engineering while she's doing this.
Okay.
Hold on. Okay.
I bet the parade's going better than this.
Yeah. Okay, and I, of course, I don't have Joe's intro here.
It's okay.
This is amazing.
Rick is back in the studio.
Beautiful.
Is he ready?
I have not spoken to him, but we will try.
All right, we'll try it. Is there a delay now?
I'm Pam Adlon. Can you hear me?
I think
yes. Yes.
I
can hear you, just not at the same time. That's a problem.
This is just 2020. This is so 2020 right now. This is fucking 2020, damn it. He's got to use the task manager. He's got to go to details. I'm going to put all this in there. Let's bring Joe in. Joe Castro. Welcome, Joe. Joe, how are you?
How's it going, everybody? How you doing today?
Good. We're going to work on Rick here. Kevin, talk to Joe for a second.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, Kevin. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Better than Johnny Rotten. Yes.
You know what? This is life. This is life.
You know, it's always a tightrope. We're always walking that high wire.
Yeah. What is it? The astronauts in space, you know what they do? They just do the next right thing until they live, come back down to Earth. There's always something going wrong. And they just keep trying to figure out the next problem to come back to Earth. That's all that's going on up there. It's just one big science experiment.
Gravity is not your friend.
That's right.
Okay, we're taking... Hold on. Keep talking, Kevin. Keep talking. Save the show!
Kevin, tell me a joke. Talk to me. I was actually
going to ask you, Joe, about your favorite Thanksgiving ritual. Favorite Thanksgiving memory.
Oh, wow. Let me see. That's a good... You know what? I'll be honest with you. Last Thanksgiving was amazing. And let me tell you why. Because this woman came to our Thanksgiving. Every year, my partner, Steven Escobar, and I have like the Hollywood Orphans Thanksgiving. It's everybody that lives in Hollywood. It's an actor or actress or someone in the industry that doesn't have family to go home to because their family's all abandoned them or, you know, they don't talk to them anymore because they're artists out in Hollywood. And this lady, she is an amazingly talented, beautiful woman. Her name is Jackie Kong. She made a movie when she was 23 years old. A little Asian girl in Hollywood made a monster movie. And she inspired me to make monster movies when I grew up. And now she's one of my best friends in the whole wide world. She came to Thanksgiving dinner to celebrate with all my family and friends in Hollywood. I just could not be any better than that.
That's
beautiful.
There
you go.
I got an idea here. I feel bad about Rick here, right? So what we got to do is Susanna, you have the questions for Rick on that sheet. You have the questions for Rick on the sheet. Okay. So I can't hear you now. So what we got to do is, give him those questions. Give him those questions. And then, when he comes back on, he can answer those questions.
Gotcha.
We'll do those first. This is crazy.
It's a rigged quiz. That's okay. I've got mashed potato stories to fill in the time.
Nice.
So, Joe, tell us about Terror Tunes.
Oh, Terror Tunes. Well, first of all, it's a very hard word. It's kind of a hard title to even pronounce. Terror Tunes. My Siri won't even acknowledge the correct spelling of it. It's spelled Terror and then Tunes, T-O-O-N-S, like cartoons. And it's a movie that my partner and I came up with a little over 20 years ago. It's kind of a cult film. We made the entire movie. It's about – people ask me, is it an animated movie or is it a live-action movie? It's both. It's a movie about killer cartoons, and they come out of the cartoon dimension into the real world. You know, it's a movie for anybody who's young at heart, who loves fantasy, who loves cult films. You know, this movie was made for $2,300. We shot it in 3 days. And there were 8 copies of it in every Blockbuster in America. And it sat on the same shelf right next to Pirates of the Caribbean.
That's
wow.
Awesome.
That's crazy.
So, that kind of money, you could have had one boob enhanced.
There's a whole story that can go off on that tangent.
You did. That's okay.
Kevin's had both of his fixed. So.
Of course, then I had them rescinded. That was even more.
So, but yeah, you know, I mean, it's not a movie for everybody. You know, if you like Adult Swim and you like, are you familiar with Herschel Gordon Lewis? You know who Herschel Gordon Lewis is? Herschel Gordon Lewis is considered the godfather of gore. Now, he died 4 years ago, but the man invented the slasher splatter movie genre back in 1963. He made a movie titled Blood Feast. And I had a chance to create the special effects for the sequel to the very first slasher movie ever in 2001, Blood Feast 2. And that's where I met Herschel. And, you know, I had no idea that Herschel had inspired me all those years to make cinema. And so Terror Toons is a little bit of Herschel Gordon Lewis and a little bit of Adult Swim, kind of with some zany Cartoon Network kind of stuff in it. But yeah. It's definitely a very unique style. If you've never seen it, you look it up. It's you can get all three. There's three right now in the franchise, 1, 2, and 3. And we're getting ready to shoot and produce and finish and get out part 4, Terror Toons 4.
Now you've dealt with both CGI and with practical effects.
That's correct. 39 years in the business doing this.
Yeah, you've done a lot of stuff. Wow. What do you prefer?
Well, you know, there's a place for both of them. You know, I think that, you know, it's just like in this world, there's a place that there's good and bad and everything, and everything has a place. And sometimes it can be a very symbiotic relationship between the two. I love old school practical effects. I like handcrafted movies. I like to see the real stuff, you know. But then there's a place for CGI if you can take it and you can use it like to finesse where the practical effects lack, you know, reality. Then I think you have a great combination of the two. I hope that makes sense.
So, and there's a big difference in budget, right? So practical effects are cheaper, right? Or CGI is coming down though, right?
See, here's the deal. Practical effects got very expensive. That's why they started doing digital effects. Because of the skill level and the quality of the materials being used and stuff. So practical effects can be very, very, very expensive. And CGI is actually less expensive these days. I mean, literally 10 and 12 year olds know how to use a computer and they can make a monster on their face, and they know how to go through all these programs and edit movies themselves. I mean, they're 10 and 12 year old. You know, they're filmmakers now with their iPhone, and they know how to do all this stuff.
Can you send some of these kids my way? I need to make a
absolutely,
movie.
Absolutely. You know, they say that the average lifespan of a artist in the computer generated effects world is 2 to 3 years.
Wow.
That's how many younger people are coming into the business that are willing to work for pennies on the dollar.
Well, so yeah, I was going to say they'll work for Twinkies and Ho-Hos, won't they?
That's right. I heard them when they were making Iron Man, the film, that the teams of people doing the effects were literally just sleeping at their desk. They would just crawl under the desk and sleep under the desk, and they'd get up after 8 hours and they'd start the next day.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. That's crazy. Who were your heroes growing up?
Okay. That's a great question. I had some, and they're still my heroes today. And some of them are still in my life. I said Jackie Kong already. Herschel Gordon Lewis, the godfather of gore, and Tom Savini, which is a very well-known household name amongst everybody in the horror world. Tom Savini is a very well-known, he's basically the king of slasher films and special effects. And,
oh, I thought you said flasher films for a second.
No, slasher movies. No, he was responsible for just a slew of amazing effects film-oriented films back in the 80s, and that everybody knows and loves. The original Friday 13th, Friday 13th, The Final Chapter. He's actually the one that killed Jason on camera. The Prowler, on and on and on. The Burning, all these, this series of amazing slasher films. But, you know, he basically pioneered everything that we do today when it comes to slasher movies and gore, as far as special effects is concerned. I mean, literally something that man created has influenced literally hundreds, if not thousands, of filmmakers all over the world since he started doing special effects. So big shout out to Tom Savini for all of he's done for us.
Now, what are some of the biggest projects you've worked on?
Oh, let's see. Biggest does not mean favorite. I want to put that.
I understand that.
I worked on Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1. I was did some of the CGI, some CGI work on that film. But there were literally 100 people working in cubicles in a room in Santa Monica. I mean, if I tried to, I couldn't even tell you what I was doing. I was isolating, you know, the lead character from a shot, and I was extracting him so that way they could build a 3D background for the 3D, 2D to 3D conversion for the projection. You know, it was, uh, It's just, yeah, you know, all technical stuff. But go ahead.
Now, what about your favorite?
Oh, my favorite. Well, it's going to be a tough one. I can tell you one of my favorites. How about that?
Okay.
One of my favorites would have to be working with Herschel Gordon Lewis on Blood Feast 2, you know, given the opportunity to create the special effects to the very first slasher movie ever was something that I never dared dream that I'd be able to have the opportunity to do. And then to befriend the man that has inspired so many people and have him actually be in one of my films. That was a real special moment. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That's awesome, man. Hold on.
Blood Feast sounds like what 2020 might have in store for December.
Oh my goodness.
Right? Yeah.
Well, that's what's next.
It's funny because most of the things you see in the original Blood Feast when it was made in 1963, when you watch it today, it's been copied and duplicated and Xeroxed and mimicked so many times. It's almost cliche when you watch it today. You know, it's lighthearted. It's like a lighthearted slasher film compared to what goes on today.
Well, let's try to bring Rick back in. You know, we plan this out to have one guest after another, but you know what? Let's just bring him in and see if he's caught up with us now. Let's see if this works. Rick, how are you?
Hello.
Are you
with
me?
Hey, Rick.
Colin, how you doing? It's the guys.
I'm with yes, my, success.
I'm all with, right.
Impulse is exploding. What's going on?
Rick, good, I miss you, buddy. How you been?
I've been good. It's been good. And then it gets weird and it gets good. And then I'm kind of a first responder to the voice in my head. I'll get out of your way. How have you been? You don't look any older or anything. You look like the hot chick you always look like.
Thank you, buddy. I've been good. I miss you, man. I used to book Rick in my shows at the Underground. Remember that?
Yeah, that's right. Where was that? That was uptown, right?
Yeah, 108th and Broadway.
Yeah, we had fun, actually. It wasn't uptight. But you get that downtown. He's like, I have to be good, but I became a comic because I like to fuck things up.
Right.
Well, that's just that. Do it with a certain cadence, like a limping moose. Keep it down, you know. There. You ever go home and wait my marriage to end? And then it just. It does not. You realize she was right the whole time.
Yeah.
You do have a fever and you don't need heroin. All right, go ahead.
I always say you're wrong at least half the time in a relationship.
I don't even know how to have a conversation. I've been on stage four times a night for 100 years. And backwoods in New Jersey, living in the back of a home, realizing I'm lucky my arm's too short to reach the trigger. Ooh,
you're cutting out a little bit there, buddy.
Well, I'm not going to repeat it, man. I love seeing you guys. You look great. Who's the movie guy influence?
Oh, we were just talking about that. He's done a lot of stuff. He's been working with a lot of people, and actually, Joe, you should consider Rick for work because he's phenomenal. In fact, let's show a couple of his clips. He's worked. We're gonna show some clips here, Rick.
Okay.
Okay, that's Joe's clip. That's not Rick.
Yeah, that'd be great. And here's where it gets left off. If we talk to a dolphin, we get some information out of him. And he inspires.
We got to show a little more than that. Let's show some more. By the way, that was Joe Rogan. That was Cheech Marin.
Really?
Yeah.
You'll keep an eye out for it. You'll keep both eyes open, looking for my jacket.
That was on the Mark Maron show. How was that?
Another good looking girl.
Did you ever get the jacket back? I'm worried about the jacket.
Pick up, cheat on my wife, pick up a girl, apologize to my wife, he's the best thing that ever happened to me, and read Camus under another moose. I just got, I think with my head, I'll call you back.
No. Man. How was it? Look, you and Mark both did my room. You and Mark Maron both did my room. Oh, you're cutting out.
Go ahead. Somebody said something. I am so burnt out. ask me a cool question, man. I don't want to do that.
Okay, so I got a question.
I'm good, man.
It's not your fault. It's not your fault. It's the technology. It's 2020 is what it is, Rick.
Live so, entertainment.
You should never put 2020 in front of a Parkinson's guy.
I saw you.
Why did my wife put her hand in my face? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, no problem. Last time I saw you, we were at the Hollywood Improv, and Dane Cook asked to get a picture taken with you. Do you remember that?
Things were going well. I remember that. my wife thinks comedians have timing. She goes, wait for them to talk. And I'm like, no, it's called a comedic conversation where everybody turns everybody on. Comedians shouldn't even talk anymore. They just have sex with each other, no matter what. Their proclivities are. Yeah, I'm a Republican now.
I'm not opening for either of you.
Hey, you ever hate yourself so much your apartment wants you out? I'm trying to come up with new stuff. Ape Gordon a teddy bear. Does that mean I was incested? Because I have one of each. I'll show you in the window. But I don't use my camera. I use a full-length, a full-size movie camera. I don't take films on my cell phone because it's realism. It's not reality. And it makes us look like little men instead of the big guys we are, the Christopher Walkens and G. Gordon Lewis. I can't shut up, so I feel
no.
Like ravenous. Well, is there How a buffet? Was
no. Normally, if we.
am I supposed to move my hands? I'm not here to be discovered. We none of us have gigs. Can we come
Can
over
you?
And promise you everything? Okay. I'm having a career trigger. Somebody smells Jewish there, and it's me. And that's not a trigger, that's trauma. So would Hitler make a cool barista? Was that the question? I think it would humble him. I think he'd know his roots. That's what I'm so insecure because of Paul Parkinson's. It's true. I call people up and I go, "Hey, why don't you do this film?" And they finish the word for me. They go, "I say, you want to finish this film I wrote?" And they go, "Like, sure." And I go, "Oh, okay, it'll be done in a year. I just needed to hear someone's voice, you know, who doesn't know what I do."
Hey.
I mean, we should do this on the lease. You should have a lease and $1,000 around my car.
Hey, Rick, how about your book? Can you tell me about your book?
Question, yes or no, Rick? Rick, who is he? Potsy? Remember that guy? We can trust him, right? Comics are too many, they're becoming edgy potsies. like Angry Ralph Mouse. It's a hybrid of genius and scumbag. Bang, bang. how the hell are you, Danny?
Rick, I'm good, man. I miss you, buddy. I really do. I miss we used to hang out all the time at the Underground, and I used to watch you, and then I'd be so inspired by your set that I would get up afterwards, and I was way better. You know, it was just I was much more improvisational. You always inspired me on the stage.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
No, it's true, and I want to promote your book. So you want to tell us about your book?
The book is really good. Unfiltered, it's called. Not to be confused with Marin's Unfiltered and Louis Unfiltered. I'm only kidding. I know somebody has another one. But it's really good. I promise you that. There's stuff in there that there's even an imitation of we're robbing a bank. And I did perform it live, where you arch your back enough, you turn into a lizard, and you can. And I call it the lizard's way, and you really look like a guy who can see all around in his back and front. Holy shit, that sounded crazy right now, but it's really valuable. I mean, the new COVID my money on the sidewalk scheme. It's a long story. But just remember, Rick told me about a lizard.
Well, it definitely got some great reviews. And I want to show a couple more clips of you. If we can show the full clips. You worked with Louis C.K. Let's look at the pilot.
So just ride it. What's with all the chicken shit fear? Why are you so afraid? I'm not, and this isn't even anger. This is what you're afraid of. This feeling. It's like a tundra and horse's blood running through your veins and hurricanes and typhoons. Oh, we have to run. We need the government. No, we don't. Just need to strip. That's all we have to do is just strip. Like that. Like this. And that's how you get what you, then that's how you live.
And I think, was that the one where you did full frontal nudity on the Louis show?
It could be.
Here we are. Welcome to Jerry's gym.
Yeah, great.
Okay, now let's start with a little warm up, something to get the blood flowing.
Don't you need to change into some workout clothes or something?
Dude, don't you need to change into some workout clothes or something?
It's not about fashion.
This is great stuff, man. Great stuff, man. You've worked with the best of the best. Everybody considers you a legend.
But listen, can I tell you the story behind that?
Yeah.
All right, the story behind that is, you really wanted me to jump up on the bench. You saw that, right?
Yeah.
All right, well, the stuntman goes, man, ain't nobody can jump up on a bench and get their boots in the fence and then walk across the fence with their boots getting in every hole. And he goes, we were practicing for an hour. We couldn't do it. And I looked at how he was teaching me. He goes, it can't be done, man. I'm so serious. We would have done it. So I said, you know, the only time I ever learned anything was when I did it repeatedly the wrong way. So I just ran against the fence, kept throwing myself up against the fence. Next thing I'm on top of the fence, top of the bench. And then moving across, you're yelling like the David Mamet type line, like, always be climbing. And the guy was like, hey, nobody can do that stunt. That's just, I guess that means more to me. And if I had a wife who wasn't as gorgeous as her, but was hard as nails, like, the guy next door who has no organs, apparently. We have a neighbor who says, I don't have no organs. He doesn't have any organs. I'm like, how do you live? He says, I don't know. And I said, how could you not know? He goes, get out of here, bro. I'm going to kill you. And so I blew him. That was for you guys. I cracked his freaking dick.
That was the safe choice.
I said, I blew him for a couch.
All right, so I just wanted to... I just wanted to let you know we wanted to cut back for a quick second because we were actually watching the Thanksgiving Day parade rehearsals, and we keep checking in. I'm hoping it gets better. So let's see what's happening now.
Could you hold the Stay Puft there for a few minutes?
If by few you mean less than one, then sure, we can do that.
Okay, that's just not good. It's just not going any better at all. This is 2020, man. I don't know, man. It's crazy.
I can't hear the word.
I think we have a turkey virus or something. The turkeys keep coming back. I have no idea why or when they're going to come back.
I can call you back. We can do it again. I'll call you tomorrow. We'll plan a time.
Absolutely, buddy. Absolutely. We will definitely work it out. No, it's totally cool, man. It's the technical issues. It's not your problem. We'll figure it out.
All right, cool.
Nice meeting you, Rick. Hope to talk to you more soon.
Love you, buddy. We're going to plug your book. We're going to plug Rick's book. Rick's book is Unfiltered. You can get it on Amazon. We're going to have links. There you go. Unfiltered. We're going to have links to that. Oh, it's got rave reviews and his albums. These are some of his albums. So we're gonna have all that in the comments and when we have the YouTube thing tomorrow, in the description, there's gonna be links so that you can check out all Rick's stuff. So Rick, thank you, and we're gonna bring you back, but we'll figure out those issues. And we'll bring you back so that we can fully hear you, buddy.
You got it. You got it. I'll be having a thesaurus with me. I love you.
All right, love you, buddy. Good to see you again. Rick is awesome. Oh,
Rick,
man.
Is great.
I wish we had the technical issues ironed out, man. Because he can go crazy. He can be he's awesome. So
I know exactly what that's all about. Like with professional comedians that I've worked with on set, when they go, they're just like, they light the whole setup. Everybody's rolling, everybody's having a good time, and they're just doing their craft. Some of the most troubled, like emotionally troubled, but yet just most endearing and beautiful people are comedians.
Rick has been an inspiration to me since I started doing stand up. And in fact, I mean, Kevin, you know.
He's undeniable. That's the word. Undeniable.
He's done so much for comedians just by being himself and being that. I mean, he would go on these rants that were just insane and they were incredible. As a young comic at the time, I would just sit there and I was just like, "Oh my god!"
If you were to recommend something of his, like right now, that I could go and watch, and everybody would go and watch, what would be the one thing you would want us to go and watch right now?
Hi.
Welcome to Subway Smiles. I told you we'll get to you. I'm sorry, girls. I'm a little shaky. I was just shot at.
he's awesome. We're gonna actually put some links to his work in the YouTube thing tomorrow. But yeah, I mean, I remember times when I would literally, and I was running shows on 107th Broadway, and I would sit there and I'd watch him. And then afterwards, I would get up and I would annihilate, because I just had that energy kind of passed on. Because I just felt his energy, and I felt that energy, and I got up and I was improvising more, you know. And it's freeing. He's one of the most free comedians I've ever seen on stage. Just epic. And I hope we'll get him back. We got to get, we'll get him back. It'll be good. So anyway, so Joe.
Yes.
I want to know more about you, buddy. So tell me now, how did you get started?
That's a great question. How did I get started? You know what? You know, back in 1977, I was 7 years old, and my dad knew I liked, you know, dragons and dinosaurs, like all, you know, young men grow up. You know, we like, you know, basic stuff, you know, for fantasy. That was my thing, dragons and dinosaurs. And he was babysitting me one weekend when my mother was away with her friends on a trip, and he said, "Son, sit down and watch this. I'm going to go outside and do some work." I grew up on a goat ranch in Elotus, Texas.
And, goat ranch.
The goat ranch, yeah. With a slaughterhouse. It was 55 acres of property. It's kind of a crazy lifestyle, crazy deal. Beautiful country, though.
Can I tell you, goats scare the shit out of me. They're like,
they're cute when they're little, and they grow up and become scary. Yes.
Yes, their faces, they're almost human.
Well, and also when they scream, they sound like human beings.
Do they have their own personalities?
Say that again.
Do they have their own personalities?
Oh, absolutely. But when they're ever in fear, they sound like screaming people. So, like, you know, I grew up with a slaughterhouse on our property, and whenever they would kill the goats, you could hear them screaming.
Oh.
You
know?
I mean, I saw things that no 7-year-old should see. You know, it was a very traumatizing experience growing up in South Texas during that time.
But, that explains your movies.
That's right.
The large group of goats shouting, this hardly seems necessary.
But ultimately, my father knew exactly what would make me happy. And he sat me down in front of the TV and he showed me Godzilla versus the Smog Monster. And when that movie was over, I knew exactly what I wanted to do. I was 7 years old. And that just catapulted me onto my career.
You know what? Speaking of that, you just reminded me, we got to check back with the parade again. And I think, Susanna, you know what we want. Get back to that. Oh, this is going very, very wrong. Joe, I think you must be psychic. I'm trying to unmute Joe, but I can't do
it. I said there's nothing better than watching, you know, giant monsters mindlessly destroy a city.
I know. That's what happens at the 2020 Thanksgiving Day Parade.
That's
what,
right.
I got to reschedule my trip to 39th Street. Looks like it'll be a problem.
I think they were in Chinatown. I think that's where they were with it just now. Okay, so the goats, man, that's crazy that you grew up with that. And it was a slaughterhouse, so you had to hear them screaming like humans.
Well, let me tell you something crazy. One time we brought out a cow. This was Easter Sunday. We were going to have fresh cow meat. And we brought out one of the cows in front of the whole family. And my uncle pulled out a gun and shot it in the head.
Oh!
And then it fell down, and they started to butcher it. And it stood back up. So they had to go get the gun because they put it away and shoot it again.
Oh, my God.
This is South Texas in the 1970s.
That sounds like Kevin's last date.
It's probably Texas now, still in some parts of the state, because it's just a crazy different world.
Oh,
it's
my
just
God.
A crazy different world. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it looks like the bulls are getting revenge at the parade.
Yes, please. let them. You know, I didn't partake in any of it. I left South Texas back in 1989 and ran to Hollywood to become a filmmaker. and never looked back. I went home for 3 years once to be with my family for a little bit, but then I moved back out to LA again. And yeah, it's for me. I'm a native Californian, basically. Kind of, you know, raised myself there.
I miss LA right now. I do. I really do.
It's fun. It's fun. You know, people.
I'm in upstate New York now. So.
And we love New York too. We love New York. It's just, you can't have a bad day in New York City.
No. I just can't.
Danny's closer to the goats though.
I just can't help worry that Dolly Parton's going to get gored from those bulls.
You know,
she's working the parade. She's working the parade, isn't she, tomorrow?
Hopefully they put her in a safe holding pen.
Maybe she'll be riding one of them. So, now, when you were a little kid, you didn't do any filming. You just had to deal with that, right?
Well, when I was 12 years old, it was 1982, and that was the year that the home video camera was released to the home retail market for the very first time, and you know the average citizen could buy an actual video camera.
The VHS, VHS,
the big VHS, and you could get a portable one. It had a battery on the side of it, and I begged and pleaded my parents to buy me one. And my father was a goat farmer, and my mother was a school teacher, and between the two of them, they worked and they saved up the money and they bought me a video camera. And when they gave it to me, they said it was $2,200. That was 1982. That's a lot of money in 1982.
Oh, yeah.
For a goat farmer and a school teacher. And they gave me that video camera and they said, son, here's your college education. And that's exactly what happened. You know?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
So
my parents put me in college for engineering.
I would rather
they have done that.
No, you know, they knew that I was going to be an artist, and they knew the struggles and trials and tribulations of being an artist, trying to make a career out of it. And you know, all the powers that be have surrounded me with very kind, loving, beautiful people that have supported me and offered me words of encouragement. I have not come this far as I've come without the help of everybody around me.
Well, that's great. That's great, man. That's good, because you got to remember that. What was that, Kevin?
Also great that it seems like your family was very supportive and very involved. Like your dad put you on to the horror films.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
started you off with a camera.
No, seriously, you're absolutely right. No,
does he have a favorite film that you made?
Okay. Well, my father passed away in 1997 from a massive heart attack, only a quarter of a mile from the house.
Wow.
We did bond over a movie, John Carpenter's remake of The Thing. There's a movie called Cutthroat Island that stars Gina Davis, directed by Rennie Harlan. And, you know, those two movies, you know, my dad and I could sit and watch forever. He was big into, you know, he supported me with my career and anything I wanted. He was my biggest cheerleader. But I also had cousins. I had two cousins that were twins. They were 22 years older than me, Eddie and Ernest Paris. And when I was like 12 years old, they would pick me up on the weekends to take me into San Antonio, Texas, which was the biggest town. And we'd go to record conventions and we'd go to like these, you know, back in the 80s, every movie went to the movie theater, whether it was a sleazy movie theater or a big, you know, Hollywood movie theater. And you could see movies from like other countries that were unrated. Non-rated, rated N or rated X or rated U, and they weren't really necessarily rated X for nudity. They were rated X for gore and violence
and goats.
And you know, because they did some crazy, stuff back then.
Live nude goats.
They'd shave goats and make them look like humans, and then dress them up.
that's a whole. I have a story about that too, if you want to hear. But. I'm not sure.
That's real house goats of San Antonio, California.
Herschel Gordon Lewis told me that they used to take like a goat carcass and they would cover it in derma wax, which was basically mortician's wax, to look like human beings. And then they would, you know, use it in the slasher films, and they would cut away the derma wax, and there'd be a real animal carcass underneath.
That's the crazy
stuff they used to do back in the day, but we don't do that anymore.
Well, that's illegal now, I think.
Well, you just no one wants to see a real animal dead.
No, of course not.
That's not entertaining. But they used to do it back in the day, you know.
Unless it's those turkeys who created 2020. They keep coming back. I'm telling you, they're taking over.
Is there a specific horror film that represents the line of new technology kind of taking over? Like, is there a specific film that brought us from the old to the new world?
I think it was a very gradual change, you know, with the way CGI kind of slithered its way in, and it was either all or nothing. I mean, right. I actually, you know, I went to school for CGI, and I made a horror film that was mostly CGI back in 2012, and a lot of people didn't like it. But it's actually it actually has the Guinness Book of World Record for the highest body count in a slasher movie. And, you know, like I said, it's a little bit of both. You know, you got to have
except
a little
for
bit
Kevin's
of
basement. Kevin's basement's got more.
You got a body count?
I got to pass Richard Ramirez before we can go making announcements.
Oh, my goodness. So I couldn't pinpoint just one. But I think it was kind of a gradual transition because they started using, like, digital blood, you know, then decapitating people digitally.
Well, now, CGI was terrible at first. It was awful. It looks so fake.
If you go back and watch it now, it looks like a video game.
Yeah.
But it was mind blowing at the time when it first came out. Yeah.
Right. But it used to be like a lot of people today like the practical effects more because they look more real. Although the CGI, like you said, now you mix it in, it's good because you got
to finesse it, you know. It's like you got to finesse it, you know, massage it in, you know, just put it, you know, daintily put it where you need it. Don't create something from scratch digitally.
Right. Yeah. You got to be careful of your adjectives. You're getting Kevin excited.
Well, that's kind of the way I use digital stuff. You know, I like to shoot everything on set. And then if I have to composite or put the elements together and blend them, I use a little digital stuff. That's my favorite way to do it. You know?
Sure. Awesome. It's like you already killed the guy, but now it was self-defense. I had no choice. The forensics are going to back that you killed the guy. But the self-defense story is very helpful.
Now, you know what's
that layer that you need?
You know what scares me? Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was thinking because sometimes I watch these cops their cameras, and you know somehow a gun appears here or they make it look. And I'm thinking, I think they could have CGI'd that in. No one's gonna know.
Just a little enhancement.
No one's gonna know.
Just a little enhancement.
I put a little over there. Yeah, it's all blurry and pixelated. Yeah, I'll just kind of put a gun in his hand there. Or a little bit more blood over there, or you know, it can be done.
You know what scares
me? Four other victims here. No big
deal. Exactly.
You know what scares me about this though is now you can make almost anybody look like they're doing anything.
That's right. Yeah.
So people who don't understand that, you can make a video of someone doing something that they never did,
and show it to their family.
Yeah.
You know. And then once
you could ruin internet, you could ruin someone's life.
Absolutely, even if it's fake, if it's fake, and people know it's fake, it could still be very damaging.
Yep.
Yeah.
So Kevin, don't act out anymore on the show, please.
Be careful. I always say, don't put pictures on the internet with your mouth open. No, if you're gonna smile.
I just laugh with my mouth open. Damn it. Damn it. All right.
Throw up the gatekeeper.
That's what I always said about the people holding up the signs, the whiteboard. You can put anything on that.
Oh, yeah. Be careful. Yeah. Be careful.
And seriously, there's a lot of uneducated people who will look at that and think that's real.
Mm.
They'll believe it no matter what anybody says.
They don't even care if it's real or not. They'll just use it as a tool to do whatever they want.
Yep. So where can people find you?
They can find me on facebook.com/joe.castro or Instagram, which is joe_castro_director. You know, and send me a friend request, but more importantly, send me a message. Say hello and let's make a movie. You know, let's make some art. Let's make the world a better place one movie at a time.
There you go. All right. Before you go, I want to take one more check back to the parade. Let's see how it's going now.
Let's take one more look.
It's going to be better now.
Absolutely.
100%. Totally.
It's a 2 in 10. That was it.
I'm telling you, it's the turkeys. They're trying to kill us.
Well,
Joe, thank you. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, Danny, for having me on the show.
Joe, is a pleasure.
Absolutely. Anytime. If you're ever out in L.A. or coming our way, please reach out and say hello before you get there so we can have dinner, grab a cup of coffee, talk shop, and have some laughs.
I still have my place out there. So I've been
– Excellent.
It's the most expensive storage unit I've ever paid for. All right, guys. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Check out all the stuff on the we're going to have it all on the YouTube. You can click on the same link that you clicked on to watch this live, and you'll be able to check the description to find out all the links to Rick and to Joe and to me and Kevin. Forget about Kevin. Don't worry about Kevin. He's fired. He's not coming on again. Thank you guys so much. Peace out.
Stay tuned for the trailer.
What's this?
Cartoons?
It's not cartoons, it's Terratoons.
Well, it kind of looks like cartoons to me.
In a world where the line between reality and nightmare has been crossed.
Who are they?
I have no idea.
Terror has a new face. Two characters bound by evil, determined to destroy. We have broken through the fragile veil that separated us from them. Only one woman has the power to stop the insane carnage. The fight for her existence begins and ends today.
You're animals! Both of you! Horrible, filthy animals!
Terror Tunes. Animated to kill.
Warning. This trailer cannot show all the terrifying and grotesque splatter sequences from the motion picture Terror Tunes 3. The producer strongly advised that those who suffer from epileptic seizures and weak heart conditions will put their life at risk by viewing this unique and horrifying movie. Consult a physician before viewing this movie. Something inside of the Shadow Hills Presbyterian Hospital. Something deadly remains there. It is silently waiting, watching, and plotting.
I know you're in there!
Something diabolical.
Did somebody say magic?
And whatever it is, it's ready to be awakened. And now, everyone is in danger. Every living soul must be destroyed, and no one is safe.
What the hell are you doing?
A challenge you to hold on to your sanity during the relentless, insane, and blood-soaked climax of Terror Toons 3, Herschel's Gory Story. You have been forewarned.
Nope.
Blah, 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 blah.